Kate Wilkinson is in studio with us as we interrogate claims that have been made in the course of our discussions, in the course of our publishing of articles, just in public discourse, generally speaking. And as Africa Check, as a fact-checking organization, we chat to Kate every second Monday as we look at claims that need closer and further interrogation. And today we've got two such claims. So if you've come across anything, a figure, percentage, a claim that was used by a politician, a publication, send it to us and we'll forward it to Africa Check for them to take a closer look, because over the years, they have unpacked so many claims and have set us on the right course time and time again. Hello, Kate.
Hey, Asa.
So we've got two today. The second one has to do with the dangerous violence spider. Maybe you're one of those people who got this particular post sent to you. It was initially posted on Facebook. We'll interrogate that one. You want to stay listening if you've received it. But the first one is about teen suicide in South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. So last month we observed, you know, International Mental Health Day. And around the world we saw advocacy organizations, newspapers, media houses trying to focus their reporting on the issue of mental health, which we know is a very important but often underreported issue that doesn't receive the attention that it needs. And in South Africa, we saw quite a lot of attention focused on teen mental health and the issues that the youth are facing when it comes to depression, when it comes to suicide. And in particular, the one statistic that really, two statistics that really did the rounds and saw a lot of reporting was first that almost 1 in 10 teenage deaths in South Africa every year are as a result of suicide. And then the second claim was that up to 20% of high school learners have tried to take their own lives.
Yeah.
So two pretty shocking and scary statistics. And a few people got in touch with us and asked us to check them out.
Yes.
So
interesting, because even at the around the same time, WITS had issued a press statement around a suicide of a student there and one who had to be rushed off to hospital after an attempted suicide. So there were, and these particular figures, I remember them being used in the same piece. So it felt like there was just a hot spot at the time around this issue.
Absolutely. And we often focus on health issues. We have focused a lot in the past on mental health issues. And one of the reasons that we do that is because when it comes to issues like this, accurate information is so important to understand the problem, but then also to address the problem. Mm-hmm. And once these facts find their way into public discourse, they can spread rapidly. They can inform people's perceptions and in some cases even inform policy at a government level. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to have a quick look at them and see, you know, does the most recent reliable research back it up? And you know, where do these numbers come from and what do they actually tell us?
So did you get in touch then with the publications?
Yeah, so actually a lot of people who published this data actually attributed it to a group which made it a lot easier. And that was the Psychiatry Management Group, which is a private company and that is a sort of a registration organization for psychiatrists in South Africa. And they had issued a press release, which was picked up by a number of publications. And in those news stories, we saw these two statistics share. And so we got in touch with the group and we asked them, you know, what is this based on? Where did you get your information? And when we look at the first claim, which was the claim that almost 1 in 10 teenage deaths in South Africa every year are as a result of suicide, we got in touch with their PR company and they pointed us to a press release from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group.
Mm-hmm.
And in that press release, it stated that in South Africa, 9% of all teen deaths are caused by suicide. So we found where they got it from. The next thing we had to do was to look at the most recent data and see if it lined up.
Yes. And where, what kind of a process did they rely on?
So we went straight away quickly to check the numbers against Statistics South Africa's data. Because every year the statistical agency releases a causes of death report. And what that does is it looks at all the deaths which have occurred in the country. It gathers information from death certificates. certificates, mm-hmm. and it provides a breakdown. So it's a really important report. A lot of research and information is gathered from it from a wide range of different organizations and research units who use this information.
But how is it recorded? Because so often we don't get
such
to specifics.
Important question. Yeah. So let's first look at the numbers. So when we looked at the latest report from 2016, mm-hmm. what we saw was that when it came to people, teenagers aged 13 to 19, Statistics South Africa recorded 55 deaths due to self-harm. And self-harm is a category of cause of death that covers 25 different types of death, sure. From things like poisoning, self-poisoning, strangulation, jumping from a high place. Mm. It is a pretty long list of terrible ways for people to end their lives. Yeah. And from there, we saw that 55 teenagers in that age group had died as a result of self-harm.
Right.
And if we look at the total deaths in that age group, we see that there were 8,251 teenagers mm-hmm. who sadly died that year. And when you work out the percentage, you see that that accounts for about 1 in 100 deaths. Right. So that's quite different.
Yeah, from the initial claim.
So we're looking at 1% of deaths as opposed to what was claimed was
1 in 10.
1 in 10. So 10% of deaths.
Yeah.
But you asked a really important question. How is this data collected? Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned earlier, it comes from death certificates. So when someone passes away, a death certificate has to be filled out and a doctor has to record the cause of death. And what we see when we look at death certificates where people have died because of suicide is that often the numbers are underreported because suicide is not recorded as the cause of death.
Right.
And we've spoken to health statisticians at the World Health Organization who have told us that this is a global issue and that often doctors can be pressurized or doctors can feel uncomfortable about recording suicide as a cause of death because there may be stigma, there may be financial or legal implications
right.
for someone having killed themselves,
yes.
And that often there'll be another cause of death attributed.
Right.
So to overcome this issue, there are often much more detailed reports and investigations into causes of death. Mm-hmm. And the most recent one we have in South Africa was from 2012, and that's the National Burden of Disease Study.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do here is that they use the death certificate information, but they supplement it with a whole host of other information.
Right.
So health information,
right.
other studies that have been done on diseases, on things which have an impact on how and why people die in South Africa. And based on that information, they recalculate estimates.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at 2012, unfortunately, this information, we do have to go back a bit. It is a bit dated, but that's because this sort of study, which is so in depth, takes a very long time to do.
Right. So we won't see those numbers annually.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. if we go back to 2012, another limitation in this regard is that they look at the causes of death in 5-year age groups. So we can't isolate teenagers exactly in this data. What we have to do is look at people aged 10 to 19.
Right, right.
And when we look at that data for 2012, what we see is that for people aged 10 to 19, there were 565 deaths in that age group. And if we compare it to the data from Statistics South Africa that year,
yeah.
they recorded just 83. So
gosh,
you can see there,
so
you can see there the
is
difference.
It's safe to say there's under reporting.
Absolutely. If you speak to any person who has done research on causes of death, if you look at data from the World Health Organization, it is almost a certainty that when it comes to suicide, that there is underreporting. But it's not specific. It's not a unique problem when it comes to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the same causes of death report from Statistics South Africa, every year when they release it, they will say how many people died from HIV/AIDS. But that number is also underreported.
Yes, we say TB, there's cancer.
Absolutely, because sometimes doctors don't know that a patient had HIV. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do know and there's pressure not to record it in a certain way.
Right.
So what Statistics South Africa then does is they recalculate an estimate for how many people they think have died because of HIV/AIDS, and they'll take into consideration how many people are on antiretrovirals, the mother-to-child transmission rates. So that's why it's so important when we're looking at these things to make sure that we're using not just the right statistics, but that we're taking into account whether the numbers could be higher than is initially suggested.
Yes, and I think, as you always impress the point, that it's important that we don't exaggerate or underestimate or the figures around certain challenges in society.
Absolutely. So this claim that 10% of teenage deaths in South Africa are due to suicide is incorrect. Mm-hmm. And when we spoke to an expert who's actually a professor at the Centre for Rural Health, his name's Arvind Bana, and he's done a lot of research on teen suicide and adolescent mental health. Mm-hmm. He said that, like you said, we have to take care when we're talking about suicide. And he actually stressed, which I thought was so interesting, is that we shouldn't make it out as though teen suicide is an epidemic in South Africa.
It certainly felt that way in that week.
It does, because that's the reporting we got. And he argued that that sort of reporting actually has a negative impact, because it feels like something we can't solve them.
Mm-hmm. And what he said is
that it's not an epidemic. It's certainly a problem. But if we present it like an epidemic, it seems like it's too big for anyone to do anything, when he actually argues that there's a lot that can be done to intervene and to help young people during a time in their life where they are going through transitions and need extra support.
Absolutely. So there was a second portion to this claim, and that was up to 20% of high school learners have tried to take their own lives. What did you find about this one?
So when we spoke to the representative from the psychiatry management group, they pointed us to a study that was conducted in 2011, and that was called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And they said that was the source of the statistic. And what we found was that was correct. The study looked at risky behavior in South African public school pupils between grades 8 and grade 11. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that 17.8% of pupils had made one or more suicide attempts in the past 6 months before the survey.
Right.
So when it comes to a verdict for this claim, we gave it a verdict of mostly correct.
Yes, 20%, 17.8%.
It's slightly lower, but also we're not talking about all learners in the country. We're only talking about public school learners.
Right.
Unfortunately, we don't have the same quality of recent data on whether learners in private schools have attempted to commit suicide, and how many times or in what time frame.
Hmm. So if you want to take a closer look at this particular piece, you know, because as parents, and when you hear of the rates of depression and anxiety that a lot of young people are feeling, we all have to make ourselves much more or better equipped to deal with the challenges that they face. You can go to africacheck.org.za if you want to take a closer look at this particular piece and the research that they've done. And then the second one has to do with a social media or Facebook post that just caught fire. A violent spider, dangerous violent spider invading South African homes. What did you, where did you start with this? Or how did you first become aware of it?
Well, before I get into it, I have to admit that I thought that it was called a violent spider for a very long time. because when people say violin spiders, I hear violent for some reason, but we're talking about violin, like the musical instrument.
All right. Let's take a break, Kate, and then we'll come back to give you a quick wrap of the dangerous violin spider. Is it invading South African homes?
Azania Musaga on 702. Call Azania on 011-883-0702.
Well, there's a warning that started circulating from a Facebook post about the violent spider, very dangerous spider, that could literally be invading your home. So this was a claim made on Facebook via a post.
A very viral post that has been taking South African Facebook by storm and has been shared many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. And like you said, these violin spiders are claimed to be invading our homes. And not only that, the picture that was shared with the post is pretty gruesome.
Yeah, the wool or the poisoning.
It shows a bite sort of progressing from a little pink hand with a black spot to almost a festering black wound on this person's hand. So it's quite scary looking.
Yeah.
We decided to do some digging. We got in touch with a spider expert who told us, first of all, the picture of the spider in the post, who's meant to be invading South Africans' homes. The spider doesn't even exist in South Africa. It's an American spider.
Okay.
And it's called a brown recluse.
Uh-huh.
And he also said that he thinks the picture of that awfully injured and really gross hand is actually a bite from a rattlesnake, which got a bacterial infection.
Oh.
Yeah. So, are spiders invading South African homes? The answer is this warning is completely unfounded.
Because it went far to say, oh, it looks like the daddy long legs. And
so sometimes, the violent spiders in South Africa, they do share some similarities with daddy long legs,
mm-hmm.
but they have a violent shape on their body. So they can be differentiated.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these spiders, though, don't live in homes. They live in nature. So you're going to find them under rocks, tree bark, in burrows. A few of them do, however, come into homes sometimes, but that's mainly in Gauteng in the Free State, where they'll hide in drawers or behind cupboards.
Mm-hmm.
But they aren't very aggressive spiders. They are unlikely to bite. And if you are bitten by them, you're not going to get that terrible, awful wound. You'll probably get like a little mosquito bite. It is poisonous, so you might get a bit of a deep wound that heals slowly. But our expert said, don't freak out. If you get bitten by a spider, the best thing to do is to go see your doctor, but you don't have to worry about your hand falling off like this picture suggests.
Okay.
So if listeners want to see what not to worry about, you can go to Twitter at AfricaCheck. We've tweeted a picture, and you don't have to squish all the spiders you find in your
house. No, you don't. No, we love spiders. We love spiders. Well, thank you for that clarification. I wonder why people would do this. Why?
I don't know. I think often it's good intentions. We see this awful picture and we think, oh, we wouldn't want our friends to get bitten. But, you know, sharing this information, which is clearly wrong, it's not even a spider in South Africa. Even if it did bite you, you wouldn't get hurt like this. You're not giving people accurate information that they can improve their decision-making with.
Yes.
And you're clogging up Facebook feeds with just nonsense.
Exactly. It's just clickbait. So be careful. And I'm judging you if you send it in our WhatsApp group. I judge very harshly. Like, I'm starting to question your level of intelligence that you thought you should share this with us. Kate, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Azza.
So for more, go to africacheck.org. You can also follow them on Twitter, and it's AfricaCheck. That's all it is, at AfricaCheck on Twitter. And if you have any claims that you want the team to interrogate further, do drop us an email. It's azania@702.co.za.